I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. But behold, this also was vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of pleasure, what use is it? I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine, my heart still guiding me with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under heaven during the few days of their life. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. Verse 7, I bought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. I had also great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold, and the treasure of kings and provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, the delight of the sons of man. So I became great, and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me, and whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward from all my toil. Then I considered all that my hands had done, and the toil I had expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity, and a striving after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. So I turned to consider wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do who comes after the king? Only what has already been done. Then I saw that there is more gain in wisdom than in folly, as there is more gain in light than in darkness. The wise person has his eyes in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. And yet I perceived that the same events happened to all of them. Then I said in my heart, what happens to the fool will happen to me also. Why then have I been so very wise? And I said in my heart that this also is vanity. For of the wise, as of the fool, there is no enduring remembrance, seeing that in the days to come, all will have been long forgotten. How the wise dies just like the fool. So I hated life, because what is done under the sun was grievous to me, for all is vanity and is striving after wind. Verse 24. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to one who pleases God. This also is vanity and is striving after wind.
Well, thanks for praying, Rob. Now, if this is your first time at Bacon Tree Church, welcome. We have been going through the series of 1 Kings, but today we'll take a break to look at Ecclesiastes. I'm going to ask you an odd question. Are you happy? Now, I'm trying not to look at England fans because they are happy. So I'm looking at anyone else. Are you happy? Maybe you are, maybe you're not. But I'll ask you another question. What is it that would make the difference? What is it that if you had it would make the difference? In other words, I will be happy or happier when dot, dot, dot. If only I had money. If only I had a house. If only I had dot, dot, dot. Then I would be happy. If only I had a better wife. I'm not looking at you, Catherine. I'm looking. I'm trying to look this other side. Yeah. So each one of us has something that says, you know, we say in our hearts, if only I had this or that, I'll be happier. Now, in us, we think there is happiness to be had, and we don't have enough of it. That's how we think in our hearts. And we're going to look at this Ecclesiastes, and this person is going to help us to see, to try and reconcile that joy, happiness, contentment. We're going to try and see if he can help us reconcile it. Now, in my family, I'm a one of six. Our last born is called Steve. Steve is one of the achievers. He's the achievers of the family. So he passed all his primary education with flying colors, secondary flying colors. He was the first one to go to uni in our family, yeah. Studied engineering, got first class honors, joined one of the big four auditing firms in the country, worked his way through, became a manager, earning a six-figure salary, married a young wife, has a daughter, bought a car, has a house, has investments. Successful by all accounts, don't you think? If only I had that, I would be happier. Well, let's see if Ecclesiastes agrees with us. What would give you fulfillment and joy? What is it that would satisfy you? So if we start off, we're going to look at two things. One is pursuing fleeting pleasures, and the other one is fulfillment is found in God. So if you look at in your Bibles in verse 1, it says, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. But behold, this also was vanity. Now, wait a minute. We have just started the passage. And the conclusion is vanity. Slow down. How can pleasure be vanity? We love pleasure. We live for pleasure. How can that be vanity? Who is this guy? You know, who is this guy? If we look back to chapter 1, verse 1, it gives us who this guy is. Chapter 1, verse 1. What does it say? The words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. Who's that? Solomon. Solomon, King Solomon. We saw him. We've met him before in our First King series. He was a king, God's king, the ruler of Jerusalem, rich man. In this part of the Bible, he's being called the preacher. Okay, preacher man, give us your evidence. Give us your evidence. Preacher man has done his research. He's looked at everything under the sun, and his conclusion is, vanity. Now that word vanity in the original is called hevel. It means mist, fog, mist. Here one day
Go on the next.
And he's saying, everything is temporary. It's elusive. We can't get hold of it. It's a bit like life. Life is elusive. We can't quite grasp it. When we think we have it, we've lost it. Then we end up being frustrated, isn't it? Life is futile. We're frustrated. So we want evidence from Solomon. And we're going to look at the verses, the following verses. We're going to see, does he have any evidence? So Solomon is going to give this pleasure thing a really good go. Let's see if this will give him satisfaction. So let's look at verse 2 and verse 3. He tries laughter and wine. Yes, he tries the party. He tries the socializing, the jokes, the fun, the banter. He tries to have a good time with wine and parties and having a great time with his friends. But if you look closely, what does he say? He says he ends up calling laughter madness and calling pleasure useless. Madness, useless. But we are a bit skeptical. We don't quite believe him. We think there's something else we can do about this. So keep trying, Solomon. What about projects? What about projects? If you do enough projects and they succeed, you'll be satisfied, won't it? Well, look at verse 4 to 6. Look at what he did. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruits. I made myself pools from which to water the forest of the growing trees. Ooh, look at that. Look at his house. Buckingham Palace is in the shade if you consider Solomon's house. And the wine? Oh, the wine is coming from his vineyard. Organic grapes as well. And the gardens? Ooh. He makes Kew Gardens look like an allotment. What about the forest? He had his own forest with pools of water, green all through the seasons, all throughout the year. He can even build his own treehouse. No one's going to stop him. He owns everything. What a wonderful place to spend time in. Wow. But he wasn't satisfied. He still says it's vanity. Okay, what next? Let's try some wealth and fame, or in current language, rich and famous. Verse 7 and 8, what does he say? I bought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. I had also great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold, the treasure of kings and provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, the delights of the Son of Man. Solomon was rich and famous. He had servants, he had singers, he didn't need to go out for a concert. The concert came to him. The concert came to him. It was in his house. Yes. Yes. And all he needed to do was click his fingers. Lunch. Dinner. Tidy up time. Oh, tidy up time. So if you think Jeff Bezos, think Elon Musk, think Richard Branson, all wrapped up in one, that's Solomon. Rich man. If riches could bring joy and fulfillment, Solomon is our man. Solomon is our man. And he's giving this pleasure thing a really good go. So he married 700 wives and 300 concubines. Yes, it's there in 1 Kings chapter 9. Yes. And Catherine is looking at me and I'm thinking, you know, don't look at me like that, Catherine. 1,000 women to one man. Solomon, give us a break. Give us a break. This guy is going for it. He tried everything. He tried everything. And yet, no joy. No joy. He didn't do it for him. So let's look at verse 10 then. What does he say? And whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure. Now here is where we in our world are convinced unrestricted pleasure is the way to happiness. If I can just have enough pleasure, I can be satisfied. I can be happy. Just imagine how many hours we put into achieving success, achieving happiness. Imagine how many hours, how much we toil, how much effort and time and energy and stress we go through just to be happy. Of course, when it doesn't deliver, our faith is not shaken. We think to ourselves, the problem must be that I haven't done enough. So we redouble our efforts. But have you noticed something? The more we try to satisfy our desires, the more we desire. The more we try to satisfy our desires, the more we desire. It's like a cycle. It's like a cycle. It's like a dog chasing his tail. There's no end to it. It's frustrating. What is going on? I've got this niece. Her name is Grace. She's 5 years old. She loves to run in the park. And when the leaves are blowing in the wind, she loves to chase after the leaves and try and catch them. Always trying to catch the leaves. She never quite gets to it. You know, whenever she's about to catch the leaves, it's just out of her grasp. She can't quite catch the leaves. Now, can you imagine if Grace tries to catch the wind? Try to control the wind. It's useless. It's a waste of time. It's chasing the wind, literally. Trying to control your life is chasing the wind. Trying to generate joy by yourself, apart from God, is chasing the wind. Trying to get fulfillment in this life, apart from God, is chasing the wind. And Solomon calls it vanity. Mist. 1 minute is there, the next minute, there's no evidence. Did you see the mist? There's no evidence. Point it. Where is it? It's gone. Okay, Solomon, try wisdom. Try wisdom. Let's look at verse 15. Try wisdom. And Solomon says in there, the middle part, what happens to the fool will happen to me also.
Why then have I been so very wise?
And I said in my heart, this also is vanity. Wisdom is vanity. We try to get the certificates, try to get the qualifications, try to get the training, try to get the top marks in the exams. Maybe that will make a difference. Try to get as much knowledge as we can. Maybe that will make a difference. Solomon is saying, vanity. Now, my young brother Steve, the one I'll just talk to you about, you went to work one day and climbed to the top of their office building and jumped. He left behind a young wife, a daughter, a stash of money, a car, a house, investments. That's it. The funeral was well attended, great and small. It was covered by the media. And that was it. Is that it? Is that life? No one remembers him now. No one remembers him. No one will remember you in 100 years' time. No one. No one. Is that it? Look at verse 16. There is no enduring remembrance. Seeing that in the days to come, all will have been long forgotten. How the wise dies just like the fool. It's frustrating. I hate life. Strong words, preacher. Strong words. But that's what he says in verse 17. I hated life. I hated life. There's no point. If you're all going to live like this and die and not be remembered, what's the point? Now, this is bad news. Ecclesiastes is looking forward to the gospel. It is longing for good news. And at this point, we are longing for good news. We are longing for one who will say, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. We are longing for that person. So what difference does knowing God make? What difference does knowing God make? That's our second point. Fulfillment is found in God. Look at verse 24 and 25. It's on the screen as well. There is nothing better for a person. There's nothing better for a person than he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. Ah, but this also I saw. It's from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat and who can find enjoyment? Now you see, up until now, there has not been mention of God. It has just been, I drank, I built, I made, I planted, I gathered, I became, I. Is that what life is about? Me, I, myself, I did, I achieved. Is that it? Verse 4 is very clear. Even that eating and drinking is a gift from God. Even that is a gift from God. You thought all the grand things are things you can achieve. Even your eating and drinking is a gift from God. Your health is a gift from God. Your family is a gift from God. Your strength is a gift from God. Your church is a gift from God. If you look around right now, just look around at the person you're sitting next to. That person is a gift from God. That is your gift from God. You are my gift from God. I am your gift from God. The love you have is a gift from God. Everything you have is a gift from God. Praise the Lord. Look to God for your fulfillment. Everything is from Him. Let's look at verse 26. For to the one who pleases Him, He has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, He has given the business of gathering and collecting only to give to the one who pleases God. This also is vanity, striving after the wind. Now, this is a verse for us to ponder. We need to think about this one. Did you notice the preacher telling us about two sorts of people? He's dividing humanity into two categories. Those pleasing God and those rejecting God. Now, it doesn't mean that the first lot are doing such a great job at pleasing God. They're doing so many good things that they can pat themselves in the back and say, yes, I'm pleasing God. It doesn't mean that. It only means that they are humbling themselves before God. They are bowing down to God. They are relying on God for their daily bread, for their satisfaction, for their joy in life. It is God who gives me all that I have and all that I desire. The second group is determined to live for pleasure apart from God. I'm going to do my thing apart from God. I'm going to achieve everything apart from God. I'm going to do me, as they say. I'm going to do me. God, see you later. Not now, not today. Now, we always say here at Bacon Tree Church that sin is shove off God, I'm in charge, no to your ways. And if you see how sin came into the world, the very first time, what happened in the Garden of Eden? What did Adam say? Adam believed a lie from the enemy. Yes, he did not withhold pleasure. He saw something that looked good and pleasing to the eye. And God said, do not eat that. But the enemy said, eat that. It will make you wise. It will make you. So it's not about God, it's about you. And when he said no to God, he said yes to the enemy. And that is how sin came into the world. When you decide to reject your Creator, that is sin. And what did Adam get out of that? Judgment. That's all he got. What is rejecting God? What are we getting out of that? It's judgment. It's judgment. Look at what he's saying. He has given him the business of gathering and collecting only to give to those who please God. What a waste. What a waste. What a waste. What a waste. Why would you do that? Why would you reject God? and try and please yourself. Why would we do that? Well, if we think that God is a joy killer, God is stingy, God is mean, God doesn't have our best interest at heart, then we think we have an alternative. Oh, but sex won't do it, ask Solomon. Money won't do it, ask him. Property won't do it. Wisdom won't do it. Projects won't do it. It's all vanity. It doesn't work. Now, we have two choices. Either we hear the Spirit of God speaking, calling us to Him, or we listen to the lies, either in our hearts or of the world. And what does the culture say? Do whatever makes you happy. Whatever makes me happy. But it doesn't work. We have to look to God for fulfillment. Look to God for your fulfillment. Believe Him. Trust Him. Rejoice in Him. Contentment with godliness is great gain. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe that God delights to give joy to His children? Or do you think you need to look elsewhere? Do you believe that it's in the nature of God to give good gifts to His children? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? God sends Jesus to satisfy the judgment that was over your head. If that is not love, I don't know what love is. If that is not the greatest gift given to mankind, I don't know what is. He brings the king. He sends the king who did not pursue his own pleasure, but pursued the pleasure of his God. To die on the cross, to rise up again, so that our joy might be complete. Our joy might be complete. He laid down his life for me and for you, so that we can enjoy the inheritance of God. Amen? Yes. 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 All the promises of God for you are fulfilled in Him. Praise God. Will you trust Him today? Will you trust Him today? Will you look to Him for fulfillment in this life and in the life to come? If only I had Jesus. Only I had Jesus. If you have never given your life to Jesus, today is your day. If you have given your life to Jesus, rejoice in Him. Let Him be your fulfillment. Let Him be your joy. Let Him be your hope. Let us pray. Father, we do so praise You that You are a creator God who delights to give joy and fulfillment to Your people. Would we believe this, given all the gifts You have given us in creation, all the gifts You have given us in Jesus? Please help us not to rebelliously seek to take matters into our own hands and seek our own pleasure. We do praise You, Lord Jesus, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross for our joy. So now we have been freed from this burden of seeking fulfillment for our own toil. Would we now enjoy You and all that You give?
with deep gratitude for the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.